Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods for round 9 of the AFLW 2023 season. In this week's episode, we get talking about how we cool down the Pies for our biggest win yet and get ourselves in contention for finals. So fluff up those tail feathers and settle in for potentially, but hopefully, less biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods. Welcome back, everyone. I am Chris, and this week I am joined by none other than Swan superfan Polly. Hello, Polly. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Really good. Really good. Now that finals are lurking and I got to start thinking about tattoo ideas. Steve-O is not joining us this week, but we'll tell everyone why at the end of this episode. So stick around for that. It is a bit touching, but let's get stuck right into the game and then we can get talking about all the silly things that we do normally. So last Sunday, our Sydney Swans defeated the Magpies by 19 points with a final score of 9-4-58 and 5-9-39. Polly, you were at the game. I had to miss it because I had some other things that I promised my partner we would do and I totally forgot about it. But for you, how was the game? What was it like down in Henson?
Oh, it was a bad one to miss, let's put it that way. It was a very, very special day just from the on-field performance and then also the crowd. It was just one of the most phenomenal games I've seen the girls play and to be a part of as a spectator. It was a fantastic day all round. Pretty much couldn't have asked anything better. 28 degrees out on the hill. You couldn't even tell that it was windy when you were on the hill. So, look, it was, a fantastic day out on the path for sure.
Henson just continues to show up, of the most beautiful weather, showing the world how nice Sydney is on a freaking weekly basis over there. And to get the win, like we said, in finals contention now, in the top eight.
Oh, my God. The game finished, because you know what it's like at Henson Park, you can't really see the scoreboard from where we tend to sit. I had my phone open because on the AFL app it does count down as opposed to up, and I was just watching it, waiting. Because in the back of my mind, I was like, the Pies could still pull something out here. They were looking dangerous towards the end there. I was just counting down, and the siren went, and I was so ecstatic, singing the song, packing up all the stuff. And then as I was walking out the gate, I was like, I wonder where that leaves us. Because they didn't say anything like on the ground, say that we're in the eight now or anything like that. And I look at my phone and I'm like, we're in the eight. Yeah. We're in the eight. What? What? That's insane. Like I obviously it was a big-ish win, but I didn't think it was going to be enough to get us in the eight. And it just put us in such a good spot. It's just everything was just perfect about that game. There was nothing that upset me. There was nothing that went wrong. Everyone played phenomenally, and it's just like it was the perfect summation of a really good year. It's a shame that wasn't the final game of the year, but look, it was amazing all in all.
You summed it up so damn well about all of the emotions that would have been happening at the time. I was at a barbecue, like I said, and I was just had my phone out and I was just updating on my phone the whole time, updating, looking at the stats, the player stats and things. I'm like, the Gardner's having another scream, I know, blah, 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 tackles are up, Tanya Kennedy's getting involved. And I'm sitting there and my girlfriend's like staring at me because I'm at her boss's barbecue and I'm trying to look at it subtly. But of course, as the game is kind of getting on,
ramping
I'm
just
like, I'm not going to stop. I can't stop. I'm addicted. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a problem. But after the first two quick goals that the Pies had, it kind of was pretty clear that kicking against that wind was a massive difference. So did it feel like that at the ground? You said it wasn't that windy where you were sitting.
So I think it must, because obviously we both know, but maybe people that haven't attended the park don't realize that hill is very, very steep, and it doesn't look that steep on the coverage, but it is very, very steep, and that's why it has such a ridiculous maximum crowd, because apparently you can fit 30,000 people in there. But when you're on the hill, the wind doesn't really get you. I think that the actual field becomes kind of like a wind tunnel. So it didn't actually feel like there was any wind going that way. So at the ground, we kind of thought they hated kicking into the sun, which I guess, still makes sense.
Yeah.
because the sun was behind us at that point. And then as I was watching the replay, I was like, oh, okay, it was really windy, because it just didn't seem like that anywhere you went in the ground. It was only on the actual field. I don't know how Hansa Park is designed where that's happening.
Wizardry.
But it just did not feel windy at all. It was so hot. Like, if you were on the hill, it was so, so hot. So, yeah,
you would have
really
loved the wind. That's what
it
would have loved.
Yeah, well, honestly, it would have been nice.
Give us some of that wind, damn it.
Yeah.
It made a massive difference on the scoreboard. Like, I just had a quick look, and it's like, in the second, it was plus 18 to the team. Obviously, the Swans going with the wind. In the Pies, it was plus 16 and then plus 17 in that fourth quarter. So plus 18, plus 16, plus 17, which whatever team was going with the wind. It was a massive difference.
Yeah, and coming into that fourth quarter, obviously, as I said, we didn't know that the wind was such a massive impact. So we didn't realize that, like, the Pies were kind of out of it at that point, if the Swans could at least kick a goal. So I thought we were still, like, it was still very, very neck and neck, which is great at the ground. But then watching on the replay, it was like, oh, okay, you know, it makes sense that, I think even the coverage said at three-quarter time, like, the Pies probably haven't done enough here to get, you know, over the Swans in this fourth quarter. So,
And I think they were only up by 2 points going into the fourth today. So,
because they kept kicking behind. So I think that was another factor. That throw in was probably the best way to get to explain it, where the throw went in and it went as the Canada's behind. I don't think that's a
that
fair
wind
rule.
Was wild. So for everyone, if you don't remember, so the umpire was throwing the ball in from the boundary line, and they were like, what, 10 metres, maybe 15 metres away from like the last post, the outside post?
It was further than the goal square for sure. Like, they were further in than the goal square.
It's 11, 20, so
ish. And they've thrown it in and the wind's caught it, and it's gone through for a behind. No one's touched it at all. No players have touched it. And they're like, that's a behind. I was like, how is that a rule?
How is that not a mulligan? Like, you try again. Like, pull it back.
I don't know. I think a lot of people were like, I don't know about that.
I think it's weird. I think
that was one of the Swans' behinds. So if you think, like, we'll get into it in a bit, but, like, phenomenal just kicking from the Swans and less than phenomenal kicking from the Pies.
It was, that's a big difference, isn't it? So 9-4 versus 5-9. So 9 behinds for the Pies and only 4 for the Swannies. I think that's the game, isn't it? Just a sharper kicking.
Yeah. The forwards, like, people who listen every week would know I was really on their case at the start of this season, and they've really turned it around and shown why they're on this team and that they can kick really phenomenal goals. There was, like, 3 behinds basically, and maybe one of them was even a rush behind. Like, pretty much everyone was on their best game when it came to scoring shots. It was really, really great to see, and that is probably the biggest point of improvement I can make for our season, because I think back to some of those earlier games, if we were kicking like this against Geelong and maybe even Brisbane, we might have even had a different story. We may even got those games could have even been closer.
And even the Hawks game, like 2 weeks ago, we lost by 14, but we kicked 8 behinds. And that's the game. You can't be doing that and expecting to win. And this is, I guess, no different for the Pies, really, isn't it? But even then, like, even outside of the kicking straight, it felt like we had the game. Like, the girls' momentum, the board movement, everything was there.
Yeah, apart from that very first maybe 10 minutes, which was when the wind was going Collingwood's way, they felt very much in control then. And then from that point forward, there was maybe about 15 minutes where they weren't in control. Like, it just felt that they knew how to move the ball the entire time. And one thing that was really evident was we weren't really winning that ruck battle, which I don't think we were ever going to win that ruck battle. We're using our 2 second-tier ruck people, and Sabrina Fredericks is a phenomenal ruck. She's one of the best in the league.
Yeah,
so,
she's an imposing figure.
Yeah. So when we realized that, okay, Lexi and Bella just aren't up to this task, we found other ways to move the ball. And that's one thing, again, that I was complaining about at the start of the season, was us not figuring out how to change our game plan when we realized that it wasn't working. And that's something that they've actually managed to do later in the season, which, again, is something I'm so happy about, because it's been 8 games and they've been managed to turn it around. Like, can you imagine if this was a longer season, how good they would be in 10 rounds?
That is a really good point. Because they were, like, even last week, two weeks ago against the Hawks, when we were saying, like, great, we were playing a contested game, but then when, like, Hawthorn figured that out and just started plugging man on man, it became really difficult for us to get going forward. Yeah. We couldn't get any possession going. But here, totally different. Like, we had our moments where the girls spread really well and found space, heaps of space, way better than the Pies did. And then we found all those little chip kicks. And when that didn't work, we had that backup option. So, like, to get the handball to someone screaming through and then punched it forward. And the whole time, where every ball's on the ground, kick it forward. Put wet ground footy, and it just – and it put pressure on their backs, and then we just ended up getting more momentum that way.
Yeah, and one, like, tackling.
Oh, yes.
Tackling was amazing. They, yep. I think that the Pies just weren't ready for that physicality. They just didn't know how – I think they play a much quicker style of footy. They're more momentum-based as opposed to physical-based, and they just didn't know how to react to that and change their game style to be able to comprehend that, which, like, I mean, it's amazing for the girls to be able to do that, because I don't think they were even doing that maybe 2-3 weeks ago. So, like, just so much improvement. It's incredible. Yeah, and if you think about this Pies team just beat Brisbane, Carlton, two other teams that I can't think of the top of my head, back-to-back-to-back, it is incredible that we're beating good teams now, because I think maybe some criticism that people could say about the girls was that we've had a very easy draw, which is totally valid.
And it's correct,
And with the teams we've beaten maybe aren't the top-tier teams, but I would say that Collingwood is a top-tier team. And for us for us to go and beat them, it shows them that we, maybe not the top four teams, but we can beat anyone, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that between 5 and, say, 12, that is a mismatch of teams. There's a lot, everyone throwing themselves in it. And if the girls can get on the way they play, they can beat them. To your point about the tackling, the top four tacklers in the game were all Swannies. Tanya Kennedy with 12, Gardner with 10, Sophia Hurley with 8, and Ella Heads tied with a Pie on 7. So that's the midfield. That is the midfield, like, going hard to not only, like, you know, move the ball around, but also put enough pressure down on them that they had to move fast. And we got that, all those intercepts on the back of that.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see. Like, I maybe it's just a bunch of credit to Coach Gowans, because I think it's a game style that not many other teams play. And so that's probably why other teams haven't been able to adapt to a physical game, because not many other teams are playing like that. So when they're coming up against these other teams, they're used to playing a certain way, and then they're coming up against us and, like, we don't know how to deal with this. Like, this is something completely different.
This pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like it's Swanee's brand. I like it. That's what we've always kind of get. And in particular the last year or so, when you've got a lot of young players, you can go teach them, go get that ball, like, tackle that ball. Like, sure, like, your positioning and movement and everything, we're going to work on that and some of the skill stuff. But what you can teach them is intensity and tackle, and, like, go, 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 go. And we're going to talk about a few of them, but, like, spoiler alert, Sophia Hurley, that she is the epitome of that. Just not only is she a good user of the ball, but she goes and gets it. She goes for it. She puts that pressure on. One of the things I remember being really hot on them in the first couple of weeks was their inability to read the play, where it was going. Yes. So, you know, they put a bit of pressure on, like, one of the mids, but then the outside mid is there, and they were just managing, the opposition were managing to get it out. And then our girls were like, there's three people around where the ball was, and there's just one person on the outside just going away. This week and last week, but more so this week, they really paid attention to that. And I think Julie O'Sullivan had a moment where ball hit the ground in their forwards, so our backs. It was a one-on-one, our girl and one of the Pies, and Julie O'Sullivan's on, like, the other player. And she could have just dove in and gotten to that ball and had a go at it and trying to get the ball. But she was super clever. She kind of laid back. She knew that the only option they had outside of going for, like, a ball up would be to get that ball to the outside, to opposition. And she stuck to her, like, right onto her. That's exactly what happened. Ball went out to her, she tackled her, and then we got the ball up anyway. If she went in even just a foot, then that's all you need to take a shot at goal. which is only like 30 out.
So. Yeah, I think that happened quite right in front of me. And yeah, it was, I was just like, yes, it's exactly what you should be doing. And like, I mean, I've been talking up the Irish girls all season because I think they've been fantastic. Because
they're amazing.
But yes, they are.
Guinness is also good, but
the foresight to see that, like, they've just, like, it's just phenomenal the amount these girls have managed to learn in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, we call for it every week, but, like, this is exactly why we need a longer season because, oh my God, imagine how good they would be if it was a 20-week season. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Oh, frustration.
But, I can't complain too much because they're just playing so well and it's such a joyful time to be a Swanee supporter.
Yeah. Both teams, young players, so much promise, like, coached really well, just a good organization. Like, we're so spoiled. Like, I look at some of the other teams and the fans of other teams. Like, if you're a Bomber supporter, like, they give you nothing. Like, give you nothing. They don't draft well. They don't trade well. They don't coach well. They don't play well. It's just everything there. It's just a mash of just... And the board from the top down, there's just a mess. And then you look at the Swans, and it's just so polished and organized and coordinated and stuff. And it's just... Yeah, we don't have off-field stuff necessarily and things. It's just better.
Yeah, and they just think about everything. Like, I was having a discussion with someone this week, and this is talking about actually why people are going to Henson Park.
Mm.
They don't just focus on one demographic, which I think is what's really working for them, because they've realized that... Sorry, I'll backtrack a little bit. What has been a big pitfall of women's sport in the past, and I'm talking, like, before we even had proper leagues for all the current sports that we do, I'm talking like netball days, was they would really pigeonhole into just families, which is fine, and I think it's a very valid point.
Yep.
That, like, yeah, you're going to get more likely to have kids enjoy a shorter game and want to have that freedom to run around and stuff that they might not enjoy during the men's game. But they're not the only people that want to watch women's sport. They're not the only people that want to watch sport in general.
Mm.
And I think the Swans have done a really, really good job at targeting the young, let's say early 20s to mid 30s,
mm-hmm.
and the older, like, retirees and people without kids, and like, just every single person has a reason to go to a Swans game. That doesn't feel like I'm going to go there, I'm just going to be surrounded by a bunch of families, or I'm going to go there, and if I do have a family, I'm going to be surrounded by a bunch of people drinking. Like, it's just the perfect, they've just found the perfect mix of everything. And when I was in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago for the Dogs game, it just didn't have that same atmosphere. Feel like they were doing enough to bring the different demographics that are probably going to be interested.
It still felt like this. Family time, like family hour. Like, bring your kids, have a kick to kick afterwards kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that way. Like, I don't know why the Swans are the ones that are just so aware of it, but like, it's not lost on us fans. Like, the amount of effort that the Swanies are putting into their marketing, like, the tickets and the membership for a year is very cheap. And people will say, like, yeah, but it's $50. And people will say, like, yeah, but, you know, the game's not at the SCG, it's a lot cheaper to run. But you know they're running at a bit of a loss here.
Yeah, and they have to be.
You have to be, because they've got all the staff, they've got the freaking, from the coaches all the way through there.
Yep, but there was all the breweries, I think there was about 10 different food vendors on the weekend. Like, Messina was there. Like, that wouldn't have been cheap. And then, like, yeah, all the coaches are there. They managed to convince some of the men's staff to be there, which, I mean, like, they probably aren't paying them to be there, but still. And, like, there's so much that goes into the background into making this successful.
Well, marketing. Marketing, website, the people that are at the, you know, the little stalls when they have the games for the kids and stuff, they all get paid. Like, it is an expensive event, and the Swans, not only do they don't hold back. They're putting the investment in, and people are showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And even, like, the marketing specifically, when I went to Melbourne, I was trying to find out something as simple as when the gates opened. And I could find this information anywhere. Because I was like, because I know the Henson Park the gates open like an hour to an hour and a half beforehand. And I was like, well, I want to make sure I get a good seat, or I want to make sure I don't get there too early and things like that, because obviously it depends on which venue. Couldn't find it anywhere. Not a single thing. If you're going to a Swans game, they have multiple social media posts. It's on their website. Everywhere that you could, everything that you possibly need to know, you can find. The only thing that we like dinged them for was not having the pets thing, the dogs thing signified. Yeah. But that's it. That's the only issue we've had with like the home games not living up to their potential.
Yeah, I think a big part, like, or the first point you were mentioning there about like why the Swans are good with the different demographics. I think a lot of clubs are still in the old mentality of like footy blokes and pies. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just not an adjustment to actually recognize that there's an enormous population. Okay, to give you an idea of the Facebook users that are like fans of our Facebook page, it's something like 60% of them are women.
Right? That's incredible.
And over like 50. I mean, that's skewed. The number of the age of them is skewed because older people use Facebook over like Instagram and everything. But it just goes to show that there is an enormous population of women that actually just follow the Swans, full stop, whether it's the men's or the women's. And the whole, and part of the podcast, what we do here, part of the reason we started this podcast, because we hated the other podcasts and the way they go about things with, you know, it's just, there's just no representation of anything other than, blokes and pies and this is what we do every week. There's actually not an out love for the game. It was like a cultural love. And I felt that was something that was missing. And so to see the Swans recognize it, they're super clever. The marketing knows all about this.
Yeah.
And it's showing up.
Yeah. And to compare it to the Western Bulldogs game, I mean, look, that's my only point of reference. That's why I keep bringing it up.
But it's fine. Yeah.
There was two food vendors for, I think it was, 1,500 people that showed up to that game? Two food vendors. I didn't have to wait that long for food, but it was like pancakes, which is like the dog sponsor, or a kebab
Jiro,
food truck. Yeah. That was it. That's all they had. And you compare that to the Swans, who are managing to bring 10 different food vendors in. And I know it would be hard because you can't guarantee numbers, and the Swans have been obviously showing that we're getting 4,000 plus every week, so it's very easy to convince a food vendor to come. But still, like, how could you justify only having two food vendors for the entire, like, and one of them's basically dessert?
There's a pancake. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think the whole league hopefully learns from what the Swans are doing. Because, I mean, there are hardcore fans in Victoria. Like, Victorians are insane. So why, and we say this as Sydney-siders, who we understand the Sydney market very, very well between us. Yep. And all I know from every time I've been in Victoria is that they're insane for sport, love all their sport, and particularly love their footy. So why aren't they turning up? Why aren't these big teams not having enough people rock up to a game? And it's a thing that the AFL needs to ask itself, to be like, we're the ones that are failing here. People watch footy all the time. People like live for it. They don't stop talking about it. They're talking about it right now. It's in the off season for the men's, and they will not shut up about the men's game. So why can't we get them to a women's game? It's something that needs to be addressed really badly.
And I think the league is going to need to thank the Swans, because I could be wrong about this, because obviously I've actually been at the game for all the Henson Park games. But I think this was the first one that was on free-to-air, and it's the one that's definitely got the most media attention about how cool and how much of a vibe this Henson Park looks.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And I think that is going to be put a real big thorn in, like, kick up the ass for the other clubs to go like, okay, they can do it.
Hmm.
Why? Like, how can we do this? Because I think a lot of the people that really love this saw that and they're like, hell yeah, if they can do it in a non-footy market, I'm putting giant air quotes on that, why can't we do it? So it's, I think, like, that media attention that we're getting this week in particular is going to be a really, really phenomenal boost.
I've got friends of mine reaching out to me all the time now and just being like, hey, do you go to the women's games? It looks good. And I'm like, yeah, I go to women's games. So, like, there is no reason why we shouldn't get a massive crowd. I'm just having a quick look at the Essendon Carlton game. Now, I'm doing this on the fly. I actually don't know how many people they got to the game. But, yeah, so 3,800. I mean,
so, that, like, that's not terrible in comparison to other games.
Three o'clock on a Saturday, like, perfect time for a game in spring. Yeah. Like, show up.
I was on, this is a little bit of a plug. I was on Donnie's podcast this week, so I had to watch all the games from this round. Mm. And one thing that really stuck out to me was the quality of the grounds that that they're playing at don't seem to be up to scratch. Mm. And it could be that the way that the camera is sitting is where most of the seating is. But from what you can see from the coverage, it doesn't look like there are that many people there that it's going to, like, you're going to have to stand the whole time.
Port Adelaide's like that, I noticed. Like, everyone is sitting behind the camera.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like there's a vibe. Yeah.
You compare that to Henson, where the hill is what you're looking at when you're on the TV and you're seeing this amazing vibe. And I'm not saying, like, that's an easy fix. You obviously, moving camera equipment and stuff is not going to solve the solution. But if you're seeing that on TV, you're going, it doesn't look that fun to be there.
Yeah.
So why would I bother going down?
If you're, just say you're like, okay, there's plenty of Swans fans out there that probably listen to this podcast that didn't necessarily go to the game for a multitude of reasons.
You're busy, and it's not saying you have to go to every game.
But I guarantee you this, if you watch the game, which no doubt probably did, or watch the replay, you probably watched the game and you were like, wow, look at that vibe. It's freaking going off. I'm a Swan supporter. Yeah. I'm going to go out to a game. That's the point. That's the point of getting excited about your team. Like, we are pumped about what we have in front of us. As we started this conversation on how lucky we are to be Swans fans. And they do the right thing by us. So why not give it back? That's what it is.
Yeah. All anyway, right. Back to the game.
Back to the game. The best game ever. Favorite moments. There's one you've written here that was amazing. So please get into yours. So I'll butt in at some point.
Let's start with probably my second one, because we'll probably end up talking about the other one quite a bit. But one thing that stuck out to me in particular in the last quarter was there was two just absolutely beautiful tackles by Ella Heads. A local girl. I'm sure she had a lot of family there that day. But I sit in basically the same spot every game. But we were in facing the Collingwood's forward 50 in that last quarter. And as I said before, didn't know it was windy, so we didn't really realise that they probably weren't going to score a goal. But Ella Heads was making sure that they were not going to score another goal. There were two tackles that I was just like, oh my God. That is a masterclass of tackling right there. That is exactly how you should do it. And everyone, this week in training, get Ella to teach you how to tackle, because it was just so good to see. And it's just so amazing to see someone like Ella, who is so young. This is now her 19th game, maybe even less. I don't know if she missed a game. And is tackling at an elite level and, you know, keeping this defensive side together in a way that, it's just like everywhere on the ground doesn't feel like there's a spot where there is anyone lacking, and everyone's just pulling their weight. And it was just amazing to see. And I was just very, very happy to see that from her. And also, I can't go without saying Julia O'Sullivan also did a really amazing tackle in that same quarter. Julia Sullivan, a tackling masterclass.
Julia O'Sullivan is making me so excited. Like, I'm still seeing her just do little things so well, like shepherding. She just shepherds right.
Yeah.
And she just puts grits on her girl. And she has this little fantastic little dink kick. I don't know if that's a term, where she doesn't line up and she doesn't necessarily kick it like a traditional drop pump, but she'll just kick it off the side boot to kind of get it to someone. And she can't kick too far. She'll get it like 15 meters. But it's just, she'll be grab the ball, running away from an opponent, and just hit this little dink kick off the side of a boot to like hit someone on the chest. And it's like, that's just a little bit of Gaelic football in it. That's just a truly classy, classy athlete that just so happens to be learning the rules in this one. And she's slowly applying more. Yeah, she's the dark horse for me. She's a smoky for next year that just turns it up and just becomes a shutdown player. She is really, really good. She's my favorite at the moment. Oh, no, Tarrant is my favorite. But your second one here.
Yes.
Please talk about this one. Okay. I got so excited about Helmet Sisters getting into it.
So, out of the ruck, I don't even, maybe it was from the other end of the field now. I can't even remember.
I think, but it was out basically, the outside, yeah.
Yeah. Alicia Newman got the ball. So great to see her back.
Yeah.
Gives it to Malloy. Malloy goes on a run. Hands ball it back to Leash. Leash then handballs it to Cynthia. Leash manages to get into a position that doesn't look like she could, like, it was going to be a tough kick to kick from the position she was in. And she just gets the ball from Cynthia and slots it in. And it was just beautiful. It was exactly what you want as a team goal. It was so good. I was just like, oh, yes. That was the moment I was like, yes, we're back in this game. This is going to, this, we're in this. This is exactly what you want to see. It was just so fast paced. And oh, so happy.
That was effort. That was pure effort. The run, it was Malloy, Cynthia, and Alicia.
Yeah.
The effort that they went, the hard run. And then when she gave it off, she didn't stop running. She sprinted like 150
meters. She kept going forward. She was like, I know I can get this ball back if they need me to get this ball back. And it was the fourth. We're talking about it before. They know how to get into good positions now. Yeah. I don't think they would have done this 2-3 weeks ago. They know that, okay, since you can kick it this far, I can probably get into a position where either I'm going to be taken high or I'll get the ball. Yep. So I may as well go for it.
Yeah. Head over the ball for her. Yeah. And it was just a quick, it was like, the ball didn't leave, I didn't think she brought it up 30 centimeters. Like, she's just like, bang, and just plunged it onto the back to the foot. Basically went backwards, did the old Privatelli backwards.
Yeah, over the head.
Over the head kind of thing. And yeah, dinked on through. It was freaking great. That was. Yeah. And I love that they were both wearing helmets. I don't know why. I think the whole forward line should wear helmets. Like the men's whole back line where we had moustaches for a while.
Yeah. There was a season where all the men shaved their head. Like,
yeah. So I think, maybe there's a thing. Maybe we can get more helmets. I don't know how interested are.
Yeah, I don't think Chloe's helmets. Probably going to wear a helmet. But look, maybe Beck will. She's a fiery. She might be keen on wearing a helmet.
Privatelli with the old helmet. Yeah, that was wild. So the helmet sisters, I don't know whether we can have a thing going on. But
yeah, I like it. They've been working well. Like, they probably are two best small forwards, I guess. Technically, Leisha's listed as a medium forward, even though she's tiny. I don't know what that's about. But
she is not a medium forward. she's what, 5'4" or something?
She's,
like,
she's tiny.
She's little.
I don't know how tall Cynthia is, but they are like a dynamic duo. I really like them together. There's a few dynamic duos building in the team, and those two in particular are really fun to watch in the forward line.
I've got one. I think it's just a general state. I guess we could talk about it, honorable mentions, but on a general state, Tanya Kennedy playing out of the middle now. So she was sitting there with a tag, and she played so well. Like, she really played well, and she's doing this every week. And her growth in the game, even from, like, she's one of the girls where at the beginning of the season she was there, she was making up the numbers when she got in. And then at some point, they started realizing that she will run all day and she'll put all the pressure in the world on. And they started using her in the right way. And now they're using her not only in this tagging role, but just generally. She's feisty as hell. She's a scary sight. She can literally run all day. She doesn't care about her well-being whatsoever. And she's actually becoming an extractor now as a result of that. She's getting hands on the ball, getting the ball out of there, like doing a gardener. So gardener isn't necessarily the only one doing it now.
Yeah.
And of course, we want to utilize Malloy up in the forwards and some different places. So it's actually plugging in holes. We're actually finding roles for everyone.
Literally. The only thing I think I haven't seen Tanya do is kick a goal. She can do everything. Like, literally, if someone goes down, I would trust Tanya to go and fill that role no matter what, no matter where it is in the ground. She's just had one of the, like, I thought she was good in that first, did she play against GWS? I can't remember. But the first time I really noticed her was against Joel. And we talked about that we really liked that tag on her and how much she's even just improved in that space of time. That's going to be the word of the episode is improved. But, like, she has gone from being a really good tag, which I think is a really crucial role, but to being a really good player and just being able to play wherever we needed to play, which is, for someone who moved here in 2012, was playing in suburban Sydney and was playing for the Inner West Magpies and just randomly got picked up by the Swans. It's just an incredible story just to see how far she's come.
And she's fun. She's bubbly. Like, she's got it all. And we'll see her fight anyone. She was trying to fight Rux at one point early this season. It's all in her game. She loves every piece of this. And it's really starting to show. Like, it's really showing. She does her kicking technique needs work. There's no doubt about it, friends. Go back, watch them. She's still learning how to kick properly. Other than that, though, the effort just to get her hands on the ball and the amount of time she's doing and the tackle she's putting down, like 12 tackles in a game, no question about it. The effort is there. It is superb. Well, skills look, let's get stuck then, if you're okay, Polly, with moving on to the Bob medal. Yeah, perfect. As always, the Bob medal is our equivalent of the Bob Skilton medal, where we give 3-2-1 points out to the best Swans player in every single week. And they always win a prize. So for this week, Polly, take it away. What do the girls win who get the points this week? And just to put a caveat on it, we always forget until the last moment. So there's a lot of panic going on right now. So Polly, please go.
So we've kind of been doing anti-prizes for the last 2 weeks. I don't know how good of a prize this is, but
having a laxer inside of a freezer is is bad. What are you talking about? It's delicious.
Haven't spoken about this yet, but one of the bad things that happened at the game was I was waiting for food for the entire first half. I ordered dumplings, didn't know that there was going to be an hour wait, so I was like having to half watch the game while waiting for my number to be called. But anyway, that being said, they were great after I finally got them. That's the prize this week, is some lovely 1 hour dumplings. They do come out hot, just as a caveat, you just have to wait a long time.
Okay, so do they have to wait an hour, or are we willing to wait in line on their behalf?
I think for who has gotten the free votes, I'll be willing to wait an hour in line for her. I think I would do that for her.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. I will back that up. All right. So 3 points go to our young little superstar, Sophia Hurley. 2 points to our, I don't know what to say about her, Laura Gardner, just racking up those points, and 1 point to co-captain Chloe Malloy. 3-2-1. All right, do you want to take it away with Sophia?
Yeah, first Bob, 3 points for her. I think it might even be the first time she actually got votes as well, but she just a stellar game. For someone who is 19, she's playing like someone who's played for literally years. She is looking so classy. Two amazing goals. I found it funny because I always think of her as a forward, but she's technically a midfielder, but now she's playing like a midfielder. She can extract the ball. She was, I think, second or third for tackles. She just did everything. And the thing that really stood out to me was after the game, I actually interviewed her because obviously she had such a phenomenal game. And she is a future captain in the making. That is our future captain right there.
Lock it in.
But 31st of October 2023, I'm calling it. She is going to be a captain. She just has such a level head. She can talk about footy so well. And you can tell that her knowledge is just translating to the field. And she's just been such a star to watch this year. And I don't think that she's going to pip Ali for the rising star, but I think she's well in contention to a rising star this year, and that's maybe even for the club. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I just couldn't rate her highly enough in that game.
Yeah, you nailed it. So two goals for her. I think that's a big thing as well. Not only was she got 20 touches, 8 tackles, as you said, third for the Swannies, 3 clearances, over 300 meters gained, and of course the two goals to go with it. When you're putting on, not only are you putting on the show that she was in the midfield, and then you're going out there and then getting some goals as well to help your team get over the line. It's like doing everything.
The probably closest comparison we have to her for that, in the same game, was Chloe. Yeah. And I think she did more than Chloe in the midfield. So, and she only got one less goal and she had her behind. So, like, just, you know, 19. She's 19.
She's 19. Like, she's a veteran at 19.
Yeah, she's going to be incredible. And I mean, she already is. So, we talk about Laura being young. Sophia is really even younger. So,
yeah. And this was actually not even a smoke, because I think last year she came third in the coaches' votes for the Swannies, I think.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And then, so that was actually Steve-O's suggestion. Like, maybe she might even win it this year. I think Steve-O suggested that she was a Smokey. And I don't necessarily think so because our tallies, obviously our tallies, and we've got our own little thing going on. But we only do 1, 2, 3, and I think the Swannies do 5, like top 5 kind of thing.
If it's based, if it's the same as the men's one, I don't understand how that voting works. Yeah. So I don't know. There was like 10 at the men's one, so I don't know. But I think she could be up there. I think, unfortunately for her, more people have come that have probably had a more impactful season. But yeah, I still think she had a very good season, just generally.
Amazing. And like building up on her last season, which is like number one in tackles for last season for the Swannies. And she wouldn't be too far off. I think Garda might have peeped her for there, but she's not far off. And when you start talking about, we're talking about comparing her to people like Chloe Malloy, like the absolute superstar that she is, and comparing it to Laura Gardner, who's coming second in coaches' votes up in, last week. I don't know about now. We're talking about like the highest quality players in the league, and Sophia's name is in there. She's 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, forget about it. Forget about it. Put some money down on those All-Australian tickets right now, because she is going to be in there in her time a bunch of times, I'm suggesting. Sure. All right, look, 2 points to... She might as well make a house in the Bob Medal. You know, sit down, settle down, you know, buy a house, get a dog. Laura Gardner with 2 points. Please, Laura Gardner, take it away.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact she's made Team of the Week speaks for itself. She had, again, like the games that she's playing are just becoming standard for her, but would be an elite game by anyone else. That's probably the best way I can sum up Laura Gardner.
That's a great way to say it. Yep.
Like, she's just so reliable, and we just know that she's going to do her job. Have her 30 touches, have her 10 tackles. Like, she's just everywhere. She does everything. Yeah. And those are insane numbers to just be, you know, casually doing every week.
Just a casual 10 tackles, 10 clearances, and 30 disposals. Any problems?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, she didn't get 33 again. Like, there's nothing. I don't even know how she could get better. And that's the scary thing, because she will. Like, there's no, like, people don't have a ceiling when it comes to these things. Like, she's only going to get better. And I think I've been saying this for like 4 weeks in a row, maybe 5. Like, she just is, she's just the best pickup though, I think, we could have possibly have had. And we've been so lucky to watch her season.
Yeah, she is. And we got her, and we didn't think, oh, like, oh, cool, we got another person. That's sweet. And then she's ended up just absolutely killing it. And it, if it wasn't for her, we would have so much of a problem in that middle, mids. Like, we would have to be reliant so much on, like, Chloe Malloy
or McAvoy to come up or something. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think they would not be able to be those forwards and backs that they get to be at the moment. I think they would need to come into the middle, and I think that would have really negatively impacted our forwards and backs, because I think those girls, in particular, having a captain at either end has really helped galvanize those forward and back lines.
Yeah.
So just having Laura be a reliable person in the middle and, you know, do a thing, not get tagged, it's incredible. Like,
let her run free. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. 1 point for Chloe Malloy. Hey, 3 goals. I was going to get your points in the Bob, but it's also everything she did around the ground. Like, she was just everywhere. Like, and her touches and what she does with it is just so... There's nothing easy for the opposition when she's got it. She's hard to tackle. She'll step around anyone. She makes good decisions. She always backs up her girls, and she'll always find space. And so you've always got to be so wary of her. Like, she is the perfect player. And over to the number one Chloe Malloy fan in the world, Polly. Anything you can add to that? I mean, I don't know what to say.
So I guess, like, the main thing for me, there was a lot of press coverage. Within reason, it is the AFLW doesn't get that much press coverage, but most of the press coverage leading up to this round was about Chloe Malloy versus her old team, and is she going to be able to stand up against her old team, and are they going to know exactly what she's going to do? The answer was no. She absolutely dominated. I think she was still getting tagged and managed to get 3 goals, still getting tagged and managed to have an incredible game. She's probably had better games this season, but it was still a phenomenal game, and like, she's just doing everything right, and we're so lucky to have her at the Swans now. And there was one thing in particular when I was rewatching the game. They ran out onto the field with a bunch of like little kids who have played in local clubs, and at the same time as they're running out, they did this like fireworks smoke show because it was Pride Round.
Fireworks for the rainbow flag. Yeah.
And she had the foresight to cover this little kid's eyes to make sure he didn't get smoke in his eyes and in his face as they were running out. And I was just like, that is a cat. Like, I was like, oh my God, everything she does is like perfectly thought out and perfectly just a captain. And like,
I think she comes across as she finds this easy. Like,
yeah. This is just a day job to her. Like, in the best way possible.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, I'll just turn on turbo mode, like, every day of my life. What's the problem? Like,
and team of the week as well.
Oh, team of the week.
Chloe this week.
That's the 3-2-1. So at this point, so everyone knows, we take the Bob medal all the way to the end of the season, of course. So we've got some ideas of who's up there, who's winning, right? But we're not going to do the count until the last day. But you'd have to imagine that Chloe and Gardner are basically 1-2 up there
wrestle.
In the top of the round.
Yeah, it's going to be an arm wrestle between those two. Yeah. Poor old Ali. She probably was up there as well.
Ali was dominating it, and then she got injured. And she had a couple of, like, not quiet games, but just, you know, it's a ruck. Like, it's hard.
Less than dominant games.
Slightly less than dominant games. I mean, dominant in terms of if you're human, but because she's not, she has a regular day. Honorable mentions. We always have a few honorable mentions to speak of that unlucky to not get themselves a point. Very quickly, you've spoken about Tanya Kennedy. I've spoken about Tanya Kennedy. We've both spoken about Tanya Kennedy, how wonderful she is. Ella Heads, you mentioned her earlier with her fantastic tackles there. Anyone else you want to bring some love out to?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, I will make a huge statement and say I don't think there was a bad player on that field on the weekend.
I would
so
back
pretty
up
much
with that.
Everyone could be honorably mentioned. But I did have a few in particular. Beck Rotelli, another amazing game. Really that stalwart player in that forward line. I love having her be the main target in there. There was that really amazing goal she kicked where it looked like the wind was just going to take it and it sailed through. And in particular, I don't know if everyone knows, but she is a fiery and she worked a 24-hour shift before that game.
Why did you know that?
She still had an amazing game. So special shout out to her because that's a phenomenal feat.
There you go. We know who the fire warden is now in the team.
Yes, it's definitely Peg Rotelli.
It's the most qualified person on the field. Yeah.
It would be very strange if she wasn't. That would be a weird choice.
How dirty would you be if they just go, here, Alicia Newman, here's the helmet. You're like, bro.
Oh, you like helmets? Here you go.
Yeah, you like helmets? What? You want a helmet? You're like, dude, I just freaking came off 24-hour shift saving lives. What's your problem?
Other honorable mentions, Lucy McAvoy was also on Team of the Week. Another amazing game.
She was amazing. Yeah. I was looking forward to seeing her more in the mids this week, but it looked like we didn't need her. Like she was, so our mids were just churning hard, and I was, but everything, she's everywhere. She's exactly where the drop of the ball is. She puts the right amount of pressure on everyone. Her kick is amazing. She's got the best bird in the game, and the best, definitely in the team. Yeah, even against the wind, she's like getting like good 40 meters and stuff. So
dead eye
straight. Yeah.
One more.
Or maybe, Ruby Sargent-Wilson. Rubes. I
under
love
the radar.
Ruby.
Yeah, she's doing great. Like, what, two games, three games back? And just really putting in the work, I think.
Definitely.
It's really great to see.
I think at the beginning, we kind of were a bit cold on her because we're saying it just didn't feel like the work rate was there. Like, there just wasn't a run. There wasn't a tackle. They left their feet too quickly. That's what I saw anyway. And I was like, look, if she's going to drop off, see what happens. And she's come in and she's been really good. And I think she deserves a bit of a mention because I think all of the points that they probably raised with her when she had the time off, either she worked on them or she's just recognized it and she's gotten there. And so now she's got the tank, she's got the energy. And you always love to see your number one, your first signing for the AFLW, if the Swannies were, was Ruby Sargent-Wilson. It's just a nice story as well to have her on the field. It'd be a real shame if we picked her up and she didn't get too much time after that. So, good to see you in there.
And then one last one for me.
Please.
your girl, Brianna Tarrant.
Tarrant, my baby. She's the best.
Honestly, like, look, this is going to be a very swan-dyed take, but I don't care. I think she deserves to be an All-Australian defender this year.
I back you. I back you there.
She's just had such a good season. Her hands, best in the game.
Yep.
No one takes a mark like that girl. We talked about Laura being such a good reason why McAvoy and Malloy don't need to come into the middle. But I think Bree has become a reason why McAvoy now can go into the middle if she wants to.
Yep.
She can just hold that back line by herself and get everyone into position and get herself into a really good position. And yeah, just love watching her every week.
Yeah, she's got that. She reads the ball really well in the air. She reads her opponent really well. She doesn't give away any cheap free kicks. She doesn't give away any cheap possessions for the opposition. I'm a big fan. She's my favorite right now. I think she's the greatest. So let's see. Hopefully AA in her making. Yeah. She deserves it for sure. All right. Well, look, that gets us to the end of the game. We do look at the ladder. 5 wins, 4 losses. We go into 8th position, finals contention. Here we are. And now we are 101.9%, so just 102%. That win and the size of the win over the Pies had basically pushed us up that ladder. And now we are actively looking at if we win next week. And I've messed around with the, what do you call it, the ladder predictor. I've messed around with it all morning. And I can't see any other way that we don't go through if we win the next game. We cannot go through if we lose the game, though. So we have to win this one.
Yes. So, yes, I think how it's going to work is if we win, we're in.
Yeah.
If Carlton and Richmond win, we can also potentially make it. If Collingwood or St Kilda win and we lose, they will go through. But all of that, all 3 of those games are happening on Sunday. It is going to be a massive Sunday of footy.
I love those days, yeah.
Like, it's, and we're last, so it's going to be such a nervous weekend for all of us.
Yeah.
Just being like live ladder, watching the live ladder. But the good thing is the girls will know exactly what they're going to need to do going into that game. They're going to know exactly how much they're going to need to either put on or win by, which is good. Like, honestly, the only sort of area of concern I have coming into this game is we have never been to Perth before.
Yeah, it's a long way away. I go there every now and then.
It is a long way away.
It is an unnecessarily long way away.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about that because, yeah, even last season we didn't get over to Perth. So, and we lost to Freo last year. I would say we're a better team than Freo this year. Not even just on the, like, just generally. So I think we have a pretty good chance against Freo. But I don't know about you. I think even if we lose at this point, I'm still going to be very, very happy.
I feel the same way. Look, shout out to the WA Swan Supporters Club. Daz, the president, we interviewed him during the men's season, and he was a lovely guy, and they've got a great crew there. So if any Swans fans are listening to this and you do live in WA or you go into WA, I would strongly recommend reaching out to them, the WA supporters group, the Swannies one. They are the nicest people in the world. They're unbelievably organized, like unbelievably organized. They always do a really good event. They always do a whole lot with it. So reach out to them, have a chat with them and go to all the events that they're going to host. It's grand. They do a lot of stuff with the club. But it's going to be, they're going to have a good showing. And I reckon the crowd over there, they're going to get a decent number. They've got 500 people in their club alone, plus, and you know, every one of them is going to show up. So we've got to get numbers out to that game because we cannot have it in purple. We need it in red and white. So give the girls some support.
Some homework for us, maybe for next week or the, you know, postseason. I think, because obviously there's a lot of talk about us having the highest home attendance average. I think we might even just have the highest attendance average. I think the games that the Swans are playing away as well.
Okay.
Have the biggest showing. We can do some research and figure out for sure. That's something I've been wanting to do every time I had a chance.
I see what you're saying. So we're like the Collingwood Magpies of the AFLW.
Yeah. Like, okay. We actually go, no matter where we're playing, there are Swannies fans there, and it helps boost their numbers. So
that's right.
Yeah, obviously, if you are a not Sydney-based Swans fan, definitely get down to the games. Like, help boost so everything.
Yeah, you've got to go. There you go. Yeah. Just take pride in the fact that we are number one in attendance and the girls are playing so well as a result of it. And let's say it might have something to do with the crowd. It might just have something to do with the support that they're getting, because no one likes playing in front of no one. Like,
exactly. You heard what Gowans – well, maybe didn't. Gowans was asked, would you rather play a home final at the SCG or Henson Park? And he said Henson Park because it is a vibe. So
it is the home of the AFLW as far as we're concerned.
It is the home of the AFLW. Yep.
Yeah, we've got the crowds there. And Holly, fuck me. I almost went through this whole episode without stuffing up something. There you go. Who is Holly, by the way?
That's a new one.
I know. It's been Potty and Polly.
Which I understand.
Because especially when I put them in the same sentence together, because I'm an idiot. But then this one came out of nowhere. I don't know any Hollies. I don't know.
Look, I don't know. I don't know
either. If I did, I'd tell you. I don't know either. It's okay. Anyway, again, I say this probably pretty much every week. If you're listening to this podcast or listen to someone speak properly, you're in the wrong place. So don't do that. Do you want to give a prediction? Are we... We don't have to, but I typically lean away from it. But what do you want to do?
Look.
Is Chris getting a tattoo or not? Here's the question.
Oh God, yeah. See, this is where the I'm so emotionally split because I don't really want to get a tattoo.
So tell the audience what we said we would do, because it's been a few weeks since we
on the episode
suggested
with Donnie where we talked about the which game was that.
Or Port, maybe?
Yes, we talked about the Port game. I very stupidly said, when I was very excited about the fact that we could play finals, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what we'll do if we'll make finals. I might get a tattoo. I said that on a recorded podcast. So.
Yeah.
And Chris goes, well, if you do, I will join you. Donnie said he will not be getting a tattoo. Because he's smart.
And Steve-O also reneged on the idea.
So, yeah, Steve-O, like, when we told him, he was like, I'm not getting involved in this. So, look, if I have said it multiple times now, and if they do it, I'm going to stay true to my word. I said when Chloe Malloy joined the Swans, I was going to get a Chloe Malloy jersey, and I did it. So,
I mean, way less implications on that generally, but yeah.
Way less implications. I mean, to be fair, it was very difficult to get that jersey because it was a real struggle to get the number because that's a whole thing, but AFL don't have AFLW specific numbers. But anyway, that's a whole thing. But look, the thing is, if they make finals, we're getting tattooed.
Done.
So
I will be there right next to you. Noddy and I have both said the next time that the Swans get through to win a granny, we're getting tattoos. So 2016 happened.
Yeah.
Obviously no tattoos, right? And then, no, let's no, bloody 2022, didn't get a tattoo. But it is on our radar. So Polly is suggesting it. I haven't got one. I never had one.
No.
But you got to start somewhere, right? Might as well start with the girls getting through the finals.
Yeah. And I mean... Like, I think everyone knows, like, I am a pretty hardcore Swans fan, but somehow I'm an even more hardcore fan of this women's team. So, look, if I'm going to ever get one, it's probably going to be for this.
Yeah. Why not?
And if they win on the weekend, there's obviously something in the stars. And if they lose, the universe is saving me from getting a tattoo. That's the main thing.
I think, look, it really comes down to what you said earlier. I think either way, if they will lose this week, don't get through the finals, it was still a unbelievable season.
Yeah.
Fantastic season. If they win and go through the finals, oh my God, that is like S tier stuff. That's just like unnecessary growth for our girls. Like, wild.
Unfathomable. Like, when we got home on Sunday afternoon, I turned to my partner. I was like, I'm just going to make you aware now. If they make finals, no matter where they're playing, I am finding a way to go because there is no way in hell they play a first final and I'm not there. I missed their first win. I'm not missing their first final.
It's so funny. I was talking to my mum about this and my mum's the same. So me and my mum are going to travel wherever they go. So it will most likely be Melbourne. I think all the teams in the bottom four are out of Melbourne. Is it, or is Adelaide in there?
No, there's a lot of it could be Gold Coast. It could be Brisbane.
Yeah.
It could also be Essendon. Those are obviously it would depend on where we end up.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So, right. So at the moment, it's
technically we could also still have a home game. So it's up in the air where we're going. So, it's most likely going to be, I think, Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also, that would be Windy Hill. But it could also be Gold Coast. It could also be Brisbane.
Or even Geelong.
The main two. Maybe even Geelong. I can't remember if they're, which that would be the worst option. Please, Geelong, please don't have a massive game. We have to go to GMHBA.
But I've got friends that live down there. So my partner's best mate lives down there. So that'll actually be good for us. We'd happily go and take them with us. But if just between you and me, I prefer it to be Gold Coast or Brisbane. I've got a mate of mine up there as well. Yeah. So that'd be really fun. Well, look, okay. So that's it. So at the end of the day, we just got to win. How do we win? Any ideas? Anyone we need to watch out for?
Yeah. So, the main thing that I thought we might struggle with is they have a pretty good ruck. Obviously, we don't think Ali will be back by this weekend. So Mim Strong is someone we're going to have to really watch out for. And then my perspective on it is if we can do what we did last game and do basically not need to worry about our ruck. We got dominated in the ruck and we still won the game pretty easily. We found ways around it. So I think we can probably do something similar. Mm. But that's probably the biggest area of concern. They also have a very good forward, Angelique Stanton. And I think Bree will be fine. She can just go on her and we won't have to worry too much. But those are probably the two key areas we need to worry about.
So I think, on paper, we have the better team. We're kind of a bit warmer as well. But heading all the way out to WA to play, that's got to take it out on you. Maybe not Privatelli. She can do 24 hours work.
Don't make her do it. I don't know which fire department she works for. Please don't make her do a 24 hour shift before she has to fly to Perth.
That's right. We're talking to the manager of whatever New South Wales fire is. For the love of God, give her a day off. Right? Maybe she asks for annual leave. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But hopefully the Swans have organized all this and got this going. But yeah, it's a long way to go. It really, really is. But I think the weather over there is also very similar to what we have here in Sydney, if a bit drier.
Yeah.
So it actually is beneficial for us to be in these warmer climates as well to head over there too. So it's kind of like for like for the most part. It's quite a nice place. Well, look, that brings us to the end of all of that. We've got one last thing. I did mention Steve-O wasn't joining the podcast this week and he couldn't bring himself to do it. And for a decent reason, Basha Hooley actually reposted something that Sonny Bill Williams, the rugby league and rugby union great and boxer for some reason, posted something about what's going on there, Israel and Gaza. And effectively saying that we were witnessing genocide against the people in Gaza and something needed to be done. And the AFL actually got themselves involved and decided to suggest that if he had to take it down, the club got involved and said he had to take it down, ended up taking it down. To me, I hate that. I really hate the taste of this. It's not like he was saying anything controversial. It is genocide. Is the Israelis? There's a lot of protests of Jewish people themselves suggesting that this is not the appropriate way to go about things. 55% of the residential houses in Gaza have been demolished, destroyed. 55%, and something like 80% of the people who have died so far have all been men and women and children. Innocent people are always the ones that die during war. So it's a pretty poor showing from the AFL, and Steve-O couldn't bring himself to turn up to the potty for this week on the basis of that, and I can totally appreciate that, and I feel the same way. But that's the reason why. It's pretty bollocks that the AFL got themselves involved at all. So Basha Hooley, you've got support on this side as well, mate. People, any time where we can call out war, we should be doing so, because it's just the most unnecessary thing going on. So Polly, I don't know if you want to say anything to that, but that's where we stand with Steve-O.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you two as well. I think it's ridiculous anytime that players speak out politically, that especially ex-players, they don't even play anymore, and you feel like you have a right to say what he can and can't say. I think it's ridiculous. It's just very, very sad. Like, it's a very, very sad look from the AFL. It's a very, very sad look just in general. It's just disappointing. And I agree with everything that you and Basha said. Like, it's a very tough, tough position that the AFL have put themselves in, really. It's just a bad look on them. And, you know, now we know where they stand, which is even more unfortunate.
It's really disgusting that they get, like, as you said, why they get involved at all. Like,
yeah,
it's got nothing to do with you. Like, no. Step away from this. Why they think they can police what someone feels is blows my mind.
Yeah, especially someone who, like, he's not Palestinian, but he is Muslim. Oh. Like, you know, he and any person is within their right to speak up about this. And I don't like when any employer says that you can't speak up about what you're passionate about, and for them to come in and say you can't say what you want on your own platform that has nothing to do with us, and you're not using the AFL account, you're not using the Richmond account.
Yep.
Why have they felt the need to say anything? Yeah, it's all round a very awful situation. Yeah.
It's gross. It's not good. It's a bad look. It's not tidy. It pisses off fans like us. It pisses off the club members, no doubt. It pisses off ex-players. Stay out of your lane. Like, and I appreciate some people like politics and AFL shouldn't mix, but we're not necessarily talking about that, because I disagree with that anyway. But I mean, people make up the sport. The sport isn't an organization. The sport is the people that love it and play it and watch it. They're involved in it, and this is what we need to talk about. So, like, if someone like that feels they want to talk about it, they're allowed to freaking talk about it.
And that's the thing, like, change happens from people with platforms, and Basha is a very well-known, probably one of the most famous Muslims in this country, who is well-respected and well-liked, and having someone like him speak up about this is really beneficial to the whole, to, you know, more people protesting and more people having their voice heard and potentially helping stop this genocide and helping change the political views of, I don't know, maybe it's just a generic Richmond fan, and you're not going to let him speak about it. It's just a bad look.
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with him. So, bad look, pretty gross by the AFL. Don't do that. It's unnecessary. No one likes it. Stay in your lane in that space. So, yeah, Steve-O, appreciate that. But no doubt Steve-O will be back for next week. He just didn't want to help advertise the AFL for this week, and I totally understand. From that bad news, of course, about the game, to some good news. Look, I don't know how you did it, but even Zane Renwhite, who's been at this and the godfather of Swans fans, like, legit, the man is amazing. And he knows everyone, and he loves the team, knows everything about it. Even he can't even get any love from the freaking Swans account, socials account. You got your posts retweeted by the Swannies. How did you manage? Like, who are you paying off? Who do you know? I want to know this. You're getting badges. You're getting reposts. God damn, what's happening?
I honestly don't know. I didn't know that was going to happen. I guess probably should give some context. Yeah. Like, last week or 2 weeks ago, I tweeted something to the effect of, I'm constantly thinking about how Gowans is an acronym for Go Swan.
Oh, that's the best, yep.
And I also realized after I had tweeted that, his name is S. Gowans. So it's Go Swans, which is even better.
Yeah.
And I tweeted that like a week ago, and some people liked it, and it was whatever. And then after the game, I retweeted it myself, and I was like, we should have known how good he was going to be. And then yesterday, out of the blue, I'm just scrolling on Twitter, as I often do, and my picture of Scott Gowans comes up. And the caption is, Go Swans equals Gowers.
And then you're tagging you in it.
In the corner.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? She's hit the big leagues. AFLW account loves you.
I don't know. Look, Look, playing Daily Wordle was finally paid off.
That's it. Hey, it's good. It's fantastic. That's really fun. And it's good to see, and this is one thing, obviously, as a content provider for Swans fans and everything, as myself, I've been doing this for a couple of years, just getting any some love out of the club is sometimes a bit difficult. And I can appreciate, and there's a couple of us, and they want to make sure they give it out fairly. So, yeah. By all means, go for it, Polly. This is really good. Yeah. Good on you. Yeah. Keep it coming.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was quite a shock. It's very fun, though. Some people were a little bit annoyed by it because they were like, I've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, but you did your tweet about it.
Yeah. Unless it's on socials, it doesn't count. That's the general rule of stuff.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's very, very. It's been a very fun week. As I said before, I was on Donnie's podcast yesterday. It was very fun. We talked about round 9, and I might be appearing in an article being quoted about Henson Park.
Oh, fantastic! This week,
so keep an eye out for that.
Oh, brilliant! There you go. All the news, Polly. Yeah, and so might as well do a shout out to Donnie Disposals properly. Donnie's Disposals. Yes. He's got a fantastic. He's an American fella. An amazing podcast. He also puts on YouTube as well. And he talks about not only just the Swans, although he is a big Swans fan, he talks about all the games and actually covers the AFLW. And he's probably the most consistent content provider for AFLW for the last couple of years.
Sure.
And, definitely number one over there. So go get a listen to him. He's a lovely, lovely guy and loves his footy. Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
All right, cool. That brings us to the end of the episode. So we won't see you at Frio, but some people will. Well, we'll see you at a home anyway. So until then, up the Bloods and can you Swannies?